Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. Joining me are my colleagues, who I'll get introduced in just a minute. But before I do, let me remind you that we are an adult comedy podcast. We use adult language.
Coarse language, Timmy. We use coarse language at times.
Oh, okay, coarse language, and, you know, if that is not your thing, then you should probably
be at church right now.
To a different podcast.
They should probably be at church right now.
Yeah, you should be
at
church because it's Sunday
morning.
Then
going to Bob Evans right after that.
Ugh, Sunday morning Bob Evans rush.
I know you're a church-going man. You're a man of God.
I am. But
And I know you never use that sort of language.
Well, you know, today I'll tell you a little bit of story that gets into a little bit of coarse language.
No.
Because I'm having a little battle with some people, but but I try not to, Timmy. I try to stay professional. You know, I try to stay PG.
Well, and I like to think that, you know, I like to think that I am, you know, a man of letters.
You are.
And that I don't resort to, you know, curse words. But we have to do this. We have to tell people up front.
We do. We don't want to just shock people.
Yeah, but it's not you. It's not me.
No, we say so, we, but, you know.
Other members of this podcast group.
Who shall remain nameless.
Today we're going to talk about Charles the Kid McCoy. You even got that, Brandy. He was a boxer.
Great. I can't wait.
Are you excited?
So excited.
You know, we haven't recorded for a while, so I really want you to be
And it's my fault because I have had, you know, two surgeries in 2 months. And then before that, at least one of us had COVID or was sick. And then.
Yeah. It's been a crazy couple months, and it was a holiday.
It was holidays and all that fun stuff. So,
but anyway, we're back. We're back, alive and well.
Yes.
Well, except Brandy, who's had surgery
the
other day.
Well, and I'm waiting for somebody to give me the good drugs, and they just won't. So I'm going to have to figure out.
You know, keep.
Well, I'm going to have to figure out something else. I mean, do I have to have?
You need to, you know, you need to get down to the border and get some of that fentanyl that's coming across.
I don't think so. I think I'm good there.
All right.
I know, and I appreciate that.
You know, I like you know, maybe every 10th gram or so might be, you know, poison. But
yeah, I'm good there.
Yeah. 90% of the time, you're going to
be
happy.
You know, I mean, at this point in my life, I don't even buy my recreational stuff on the street anymore. Like, you know, I'm almost 50. I go to the store like anybody else now. It's just ridiculous. So I'm not even having to buy. buy my butt off, you know, the guy on the street corner anymore. So it's very exciting.
You don't have to go looking for your
I don't have to go looking for my hookup.
Yeah.
So.
Well, let me, since we're talking, let me introduce you, Brandy. Brandy is a lady who's beloved throughout the dweeb world.
Yes.
She's smart. She's intelligent. She is
crippled.
Always
crippled.
Having surgeries.
Yeah.
What did you call me?
She's a gimp.
What was that, Colonel?
What'd you say I was? Rippled?
Crippled. You're crippled.
Yeah, I am crippled.
You need one. You're just a step away from a handicap parking spot sign.
Dude. I can get a handicap sticker.
I can get one.
I'd be on that.
You can.
Well, I need to, you know, it requires me to print out a form, which I, you know, whatever, but I got to take it down to the DMV, but yeah.
Oh, you can ride the Metro bus on the, and they have to lower the thing
for you. Well, and that, as cool as that is, we don't have Metro buses up here. We have the Kia.
That sucks.
That is unyielding in its door frame. So,
she is known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent, Her Majesty Queen Brandy the First. How are you, Brandy, if at all?
You know, Timmy, considering everything, I'm okay. Considering all of the whatever and drama and blah, blah, blah. I am okay. Still plugging forward.
Well, we're certainly glad to hear that, Brandy. And I know all the dweebs throughout the country will be, and the world, will be very happy to know that you are
I was even sick at your wedding. Remember that?
You were.
You were sick at my wedding?
Yeah, remember?
She was.
Yes, you did, because I was waiting on a phone call. Because I'd found that big lump, and I was waiting on a phone call, remember?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't know that. It probably didn't think about it because it probably didn't.
Well, it wasn't obvious.
But.
Jackass.
Right. You wouldn't like.
Well, but probably because you didn't have two broken ribs in a bruised spleen at the wedding.
Well, but the only reason we knew you had that is because you kept telling us. That's how we knew. You couldn't see your bullshit either.
Well, if I would have taken my shirt off, you could have seen it.
First of all, I had Ebola in my... Not Ebola, Jesus Christ. E. coli in my boob. Right?
So E. coli in your boob?
You know, if you...
Ebola in your boob. I could have had Ebola, but it turned out it was E. coli. And had made this huge, big mass in my breast that I had to have taken care of. Don't ask me how I got E. coli. In it, I don't know, but I mean, I've been sick since Timmy's wedding is when this all started. So, but I'm good now.
So, did you have to take some crazy ass antibiotics for a long time?
Well, I had to do that, and I also had to have it drained.
Oh,
it was awful. But
are you eating your probiotics, devil? Because those antibiotics can mess with the flora in your stomach.
Yes, I always have my probiotics because you know. My stomach's a mess anyway most of the time, so I always have my probiotics. So, but it's good. All of that is resolved, and so I'm happy to be here with you guys today because I haven't talked to you in forever. I'm missing my missing my friends, or you guys too. I mean, you know, whatever. So.
Well, yeah.
Well, you know, one advantage of using crutches, you could get a job. In like these historical reenactments where they have the Revolutionary War where they have the pipe
layer. First of all, I don't think you'd be a Civil War nurse on aluminum crutches.
No, not Civil War. The Revolutionary War, you know, the fife and drum where the guy's walking and the guy's got a bandage on his head.
I'm
going to
start doing commercials for Shriners.
Ooh, give me one of the hats, could you?
I always wanted
one of those little.
I love those commercials. Give me the most pathetic looking kid.
I'm gonna get you. I'm gonna get you both that adorable Love to the Rescue blanket. That's what you both will get.
Well, you should.
So, anyway, so it's just you know we're on automatic.
Anyway, let me introduce. A man who is considered an oasis in the desert of despair as we go through these very, very difficult days in our country's history. He's a man that people turn to for comfort, Brandy. He is he's a best-selling author.
He is the George Santos of this podcast is what he is right now. That's what you're doing. That's who he is. So just keep it moving. Recall his ass.
He is someone people turn to when they're in despair. He's, as I said, a best-selling author.
Had to make love to a woman.
The very honorable.
Nope.
The very honorable Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawkwaters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you, Colonel?
I'm not good, Timmy.
Of course.
I'm not good.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, no. What ails you, Colonel?
Well, Timmy, first of all, I'm...
You know, first of all, Colonel, I like to say I appreciate you because as Brandy comes in here every week and moans about her life, you're very stoic, and you do not share your troubles.
I don't often share my troubles. So. No, I don't, Timmy. But this week it's been, I'm sitting shiva right now, Timmy. I'm sitting shiva. I'm grieving. My dear cat Lily, 19 years old.
Oh no,
the dear girl, and she left this mortal coil last Sunday, Timmy.
I'm sorry.
No.
Well, you know, I've been very lucky, though. I will tell you, my last cat and this cat, over the course of about 4 days, I noticed her really declining. But she was eating. She wasn't in pain or anything. And she just jumped up in bed, laid down. I was scratching her head. She was purring. And then she just stopped purring. And that was it.
Ew, she died on you. Ew.
She crossed the rainbow bridge while she was laying on top of you, is what you're saying.
And it was the craziest thing. I have to tell you, the dynamic has changed because Rudy and McGee are mortal enemies, my other cat. But since Lily moved on.
They've all come together.
They have. They've reunited, and they've united for a common cause. I don't know what it is, but
it's to kill you.
Then of course I've had to have I can't just bury a cat. We have to have the cat cremated, put in a little thing, get a ceramic imprint of its little paw, and go on. So
I mean, how did that? How much of that set you back?
I think it's $300. It's about the same as a whole person. I mean, she was only a 6-pound cat. I could have done it in a fire pit in my backyard. But
I don't know why you didn't. Saving money is your name.
Yeah, Renee was not keen on that idea.
That's what I plan on doing
and
with
then,
Dave.
Timmy, you know.
Backyard.
I'm in a big thing right now. It was Saturday Night Live because they did a skit.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
About Colonel Lingus,
a
Civil War colonel. And Timmy, you know that was done on our show long, long ago. They stole my idea and didn't give me credit.
No, they didn't.
Well, that's terrible. You should seek legal.
I am, Timmy. I'm the original
Colonel
Lingus.
You know, we could ask Timmy to do it, but he didn't
the
pass
original.
Law school. Or he didn't pass the bar.
Well, are you still going to represent me?
Oh, and okay, good.
I'm in a battle
you
with
you. Are
him.
The original Colonel Lingus.
Oh, I'm Timmy. If there's anybody who can tell you about canyon yodeling, it's me. Timmy.
Are you kidding?
You know?
Well, are you fucking kidding me right now? This is what we're doing. You know what? Again, and I can't stress this enough. I can't with this. I gotta go take a shower. Jesus Christ.
Well, I'm just telling you, I've got...
Aren't you interested in hearing Charles?
Nobody is interested in that.
No, I'm just saying, I wrote the whole book. I mean, if you want to know how to handle the adult Happy Meal, Timmy, look at my book. You know, if
the adult Happy Meal.
The adult Happy
Meal. Is that what we're calling it now?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're in the mood, you know, sometimes ladies like when you do a little clam jousting, Timmy.
Why is this happening?
They do. Now, Brandy, let me ask you, as a representative of your gender, when you were with your economics professor, did he happen to, you know, I don't know.
Did he don the beard, Devil?
So here's what's
did he
happening.
Don the beard?
I'm not, on behalf of women everywhere, I'm not even going to dignify that with a response.
Well,
except to say,
you know,
you can, fucking jackasses.
You can deny it all you want, but we already know that that is the secret to happiness. That's the secret. We can get everything we want if we're just willing, Colonel.
If you just want to go clean the cage out, Timmy.
Oh my God! All right.
Now, there's a couple
Brandy,
ways to do this,
that?
Timmy. Some people none. Say cunnilingus, but there's also another technique. If you look at my book, I call it cunnilingus.
No,
cunnilingus.
No.
It's a modification on the
after Connie Francis. I
much
bet.
Much like it, yeah.
No, all right. Do you know
we lost Lisa Marie Presley?
We did
this week, so
she's dead.
So. I mean, rest in peace, I guess, because, I mean, we can send condolences to her family, but they probably
and
don't
they don't
listen
care
to this
what
podcast.
We have to say. Exactly. All right.
I've been to Graceland though, and it's
gaudy as hell, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh my God, it was. It was so gaudy.
Yeah, but that was the 70s.
But anyway, that was, you know, I was sad to see Lisa Marie die because she was very young. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Usually people don't fall over dead at 54. But. Okay, let's get on with the story of Charles Kidd McCoy, the real McCoy,
yes.
Randy. He left the world as he came into it, as Norman Selby. But in between, he lived the life as boxer Charles Kidd McCoy. Now, if your name was Norman, Colonel, you probably wouldn't want to.
I'd be Kid.
Have a nickname.
That's not too. You don't intimidate people walking into the ring saying, "And in this corner, Norman." You know.
But you know, as a boxer, Norman. It would be a better fit for his name because he didn't really like to fight. He mostly liked to run around the ring. But he was quite successful at it. So, in the boxing ring, he was clever, devious, and a notorious cheater, Brandy.
Yeah.
And his flamboyance could rival the best in professional wrestling. You know, you think of wrestlers like Colonel. What was the guy that was Gorgeous George? Remember Gorgeous George?
Yes, I do.
Though he was kind of like that. He was very self-promoting and flamboyant, as I said. His problems, however, was outside of the ring. With women, it being his major problem. Between his eighth and ninth wife. A lot of wives, Brandy. Between his eighth and ninth wife, he murdered a girlfriend. So he would have had 10, but
if that would have worked out,
you know,
better,
she probably. You know, wonder what prompted that.
I wonder what she did to cause that, Timmy.
Yeah.
What do you think she did to provoke the man?
Well, you know, she was probably upset, and he told her to calm down, and you know that never worked. That don't always work well.
No, she probably. You know what? They were probably doing some romantic things, Timmy, and. She wanted a good tongue.
Like what, Colonel? Like what sort of things could he be
well,
doing?
Well, you know what? And
her.
She said, come on, Norman. Give me a good tongue lashing.
Oh, my God.
But he only heard the second part of it.
Oh, my God.
And gave her a real good lashing instead.
No. Can I talk about him now, please? Can we talk about him?
Well, wait a minute. It's still my turn.
Get on with it.
Norman is... Have you been writing reviews? Because people say that in our reviews.
I'm sure they do.
I think you've been secretly going in and giving us negative reviews. Because, you know, anyone else would do that.
No.
Norman Selby was born on October 13th, 1872, which I might say is one day before I was married. I just had my 30-month anniversary, Brandy.
Happy anniversary, Timmy.
I know.
Thank you, Colonel. Anyway, Norman was born on October 13th, 1872, so I don't think his mother was pregnant during the holidays. Well, maybe like Flag Day or something,
not Christmas.
Like that, but not like Christmas. Right. He was born in a Rush County community of Moscow, Indiana, to his parents, Francis and Emily Selby. So here's my theory, Colonel. Francis had to go around his whole life being called Francis.
He was probably called Frank.
So when his so when his son came along, he says, "Well, I'm instead of learning the lesson and making his son's life better than his was, he took a different path and named his son Norman." Yeah.
That just doesn't seem...
Is Norman Fell still alive?
No, he's dead. And, you know...
Are you sure?
Yeah, and do you know how...
Write that down, Brandy.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. But thanks for asking.
Do you know how he died, Timmy?
He was popular with...
Do you know how he died?
Kill you both.
No, how did he die?
He was pug-noshing, Timmy. He was doing some pug-noshing.
Oh, my God.
And then... She grabbed a hold of his head. He couldn't get no air, and then he just suffocated.
That's not it.
Well, it's, you know, that is a problem that really should be addressed at some point on this show.
No. Mm-hmm. No.
That's a danger. It's a true danger.
Yeah, he was down there. He was trying to tell her. He was down there mumbling in the moss to me, and she was like,
"Well, that's why I use scuba gear."
You should. You need to.
Yeah, with an oxygen tank and everything.
God, why?
In my younger days, of course.
Nothing. Huh? Just I just, you know.
Oh, if you're gonna be doing that down there doing the lickety split, Timmy.
Oh my God.
You can't be too careful.
Why?
Well, exactly. Anyway, early in Norman's life, he spent time hopping freight trains with his friends to Cincinnati. So basically, he was a hobo, Colonel.
Yep.
I don't think that's rapey. It.
Rapey.
Well, yeah, if you hop trains, that makes you a hobo.
Yeah. You hop one train, you're a hobo.
Oh, my gosh.
We are not a hobo-friendly podcast.
First of all, yes, we are, because you want to go to the Hobo Festival, and we talk about it every year.
I am going to Hobo Festival this summer.
So, I mean...
Leanne is here, and we're going to the Hobo Festival.
So, I mean, we're not.
You're going to be so jealous. I'm going to post on Instagram. I don't even have Instagram, but I'm going to get an Instagram account, and I'm going to post all day long.
If you do that, I won't see it, because I don't have an Instagram account. So, do it.
Well, I'll put it on Facebook.
You do that, too. You do that.
So, in his early life, he spent time hopping freight trains to his friends to Cincinnati. Ow. He went from Moscow, Indiana, hop on a train, and went to Cincinnati for kicks, Brandy.
I don't know where Moscow is in relation to Cincinnati, if it was just maybe an hour, or if it was like 6 hours to get to Cincinnati.
It's about...
I think Moscow is like Springfield. I think there's like one in every state.
Yeah. It's Moscow's down Route 50. They used to have a nuclear power plant down there.
Oh.
And they closed.
Oh, yeah, but that's in Ohio. That's Moscow, Ohio. My dad used to work there. Yeah.
Oh, so wait. Moscow, oh, okay, Ohio. So Chuck doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. And never mind the fact that it's unhelpful.
Yeah, he was just...
Where is Moscow, Indiana? Well, it's got a nuclear plant there. What the fuck do I care?
Moscow, Indiana is where the... it's very cold there.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Shit.
Yeah, they speak Russian, too.
You know, even I thought
and
about that.
You know, and that's Moscow, Idaho is where there's
where the murders were. Even Idaho has a Moscow.
You know,
I guess it's from all the Russians that came here.
Well, you know, he
during the Civil War,
he was coming into Cincinnati and getting in fights in the rail yards, so it toughened him as a fighter.
Yeah, he was. He was at the age. Well, also his name was
so
Norman.
There's that.
So you know, if your name is Norman, you're going. You're going to have to fight because they're going to beat the shit out of you just because your
As
name
they
is
should.
Norman. At age 18, Norman Selby became a professional fighter and changed his name to Charles McCoy, which he allegedly acquired from a burlesque number featuring exploits of famous safecrackers Kid McCoy and Spike Hennessy. I didn't even know they were famous safecrackers, so... We have to do an episode on them, Brandy. Either
well, write that down.
Well, this is Kid McCoy, but Spike Hennessy. Colonel, can you look it up and see if Spike Hennessy is still with us?
I'm going to guess no.
Andy, I'll get my assistant, Andy, and see if Spike McCoy is still with us.
I'm going to bet no.
No, Spike Hennessy. Spike Hennessy.
Spike.
In the first 3 years of his boxing career... Kid McCoy was undefeated in 20 fights.
Died in 1967,
and most of those,
Timmy.
We lost him sometime back. And he was a famous safecracker. Huh?
Yeah, he was.
He knew just
how
to handle those safes.
We'll talk about Spike a different time. Look Spike up. Get all Spike's information.
He knows just how to unlock a safe. So he can get to.
Well, I mean, that's
glory.
What safecrackers do. That's kind of in their job description. So, good job.
You know, Timmy, I'd say, you know, it's safecracking is quite a delicate operation. Jesus. Wouldn't you say?
Oh yeah, you have to. Yeah, you have to be
the safecracking. Listen,
you almost
listen.
A good
the safecracking doesn't
good
have anything crack, to do
me,
with this goddamn
it.
Story. You're
I'm
talking
saying,
about some bullshit
it's
from
much
a play
like,
over here, and then all of a sudden we're talking about fucking safe cracking. Who gives a shit?
I'm just saying.
Let me.
There's a lot in common with labial titillation.
There's not.
And safe cracking.
There's not.
You got to be delicate.
Yeah, you have to put
doing.
Your ear down there and listen.
You do. Yeah,
right, girl.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah,
all
when you're down there,
the way off.
And you have to, you know, it's trial and error, Colonel. You have to, you know,
yeah,
move, touch
Stop
different
it.
Parts,
mm-hmm.
and listen to
Put
see what.
Put the little
kind of,
stethoscope
it's almost,
on the
it's like the safe
down there.
To the
Stop
safe,
it
to the safe cracker. The safe is almost an extension of their
oh
self.
Exactly,
and they it's the same with Kungulis. You have to listen to it.
Yeah.
Until you know, you hear the clicking.
Oh,
when you hear that clicking,
right.
Hey, though,
you know
I have a question.
When you hear the click,
wait a minute.
You're
wait a minute.
In.
I have a question,
you know,
though. I have a question. Did Charles McCoy, aka Norman Shelby, ever fucking crack a safe? No? Then who gives a fuck?
Well,
Jesus shit,
we
the bed.
We don't know, Brandy.
Fuck
it's not
me
in
running.
The, it's not in the
Focus
script.
Up, people. You all are like fucking
well, I didn't
squirrels
focus on
goddamn speed. Can you fucking
If he's
just
been
focus
married
on?
Nine
you
times,
gone,
though.
You have taken a fucking left talking about how he got his name. Who gives a shit? We went through it. If, now we're on safe crackers. This motherfucker's a boxer that never cracked a safe. So, here we fucking are.
We're using allegories here, Devil.
No!
If he's
no,
been,
Brandy,
if he was married nine times, you could
allegories.
You could almost guarantee... That he has
probably
taken of the hair pie.
Probably.
Would you assume?
I would assume.
Nine women.
Colonel, this is why we get bad reviews.
It is.
Because, you know, I didn't put anything in the script about Kid McCoy being a safe cracker. And then Brandy's all she's talking about is
safe
cracking.
Safe
not crack. About the boxer, not about his life.
I'm
going to
beat
safe
you with a crutch.
If I
with that.
If we were going to focus on his safe cracking, Brandy, I would have put it in the
you.
Script.
I will enlist
Timmy,
the
Timmy,
help of your new wife.
Can I just regroup us and recenter us for a second and bring a little culture to
Thank
this
you,
place?
Girl.
I just want...
Thank you, Colonel.
This is a phrase that I think we should all know.
Nope. No.
It's le déjeuner inférieur. And it is French.
What is that again, Colonel?
Le déjeuner inférieur. And it's okay. French, and it means...
Is it French for shut
luncheon,
the fuck up and move on with the story? Is that what it's French for? Because that's going to regroup
the
us
The luncheon...
Here.
I think it's some kind of mustard. What is mustard. It?
The luncheon in fur, Timmy. The luncheon in
okay.
fur.
That's so gross.
That's I mean, what the French not... call it.
Jesus
they don't. They don't say cunnilingus. They say le déjeuner en furrier. The luncheon in
oh,
fur.
Oh, see, now you say that, you know... If
oh, there's
say,
panties
you know,
dropping right
mean.
Now, Timmy. Panties
out,
dropping right now.
You know, oh, yeah. You say it like that. You can say anything in French. And
you know why
just,
panties are dropping? Because you know. Everybody's getting in the shower because you're being fucking skeevy. That's why.
There's.
All right. Now, Randy, can we move on?
Yeah.
From
yeah
tracking,
and can
please?
We stick with the script and stay on track here, Devil?
Fucking kill
please.
You guys.
In his first 3 years of his boxing career, McCoy was undefeated in 20 fights. Most of them were by knockout. He developed a corkscrew punch, Colonel. You know that's deadly, Colonel.
Oh, it is.
Similar to a left hook with a twist at the end. I see Popeye, and he's like winding up his arm.
After he's had spinach.
And then he's,
he can
yeah,
only do
yeah.
it after the
after
spinach.
He had, yeah, of course. Yeah,
don't
what I'm envisioning.
Pork, screw peckers.
But anyway, his cat and mouse
nothing
style of boxing
fucking suck.
His cat and mouse style of boxing led to him eventually dismantling his opponents, gave him a reputation of being a vicious fighter. But as I said, most of all he did was rope-a-dope, right? He just kind of ran around the ring until his opponent got tired. And then he would pounce on him. McCoy would fake illness prior to a boxing match, and then beat his opponent, leaving some to question, is this the real McCoy?
Oh, there it is.
I like that, Brandy, how I... you like that, Colonel?
I do like that. I like how you just worked that right in there, Timmy.
McCoy was boyish in his appearance. He was 5 feet 11 and weighed 160. He was often appeared weak and ill in the ring, sometimes using makeup to fool his opponents. So he comes to the ring, he's all...
looking like he's got the
you
flu.
Know, sickly looking, yeah. He would claim he never trained. However, he would hide away at Cedar Bluffs, his farm outside of Saratoga, New York, and train like a madman. But he would tell everyone he never trained. Now, McCoy never defended his titles, choosing to advance to other divisions despite his size. Because if he had to defend his title, of course, he would have to fight and get rematches against his opponents that he duped. So he avoided that by just going up in right. weight classes. Now, he defeated a boxer named Tommy Ryan in March of 1896 to win the world welterweight title. The victory was under some rather shady circumstances, however. McCoy had told Ryan before the match that he was dying of consumption.
Oh.
And needed money to pay his doctor bills. Ryan didn't train and was willing to just lay down for McCoy. McCoy's illness was all fake because he came into the ring in tip-top shape and took Ryan out in the 5th round. In December of 1897, Ryan probably didn't want him to cough on him, Colonel.
Right.
That's
consumption.
COVID.
Sweating and bleeding and all kinds of bodily fluids in there.
Doc Holliday.
So,
in December In December 1897, that was 3 years before the 20th century began. Or does the 20th century begin in... The 20th century began in 1900 or 1901, Colonel? I think it's 1901, right?
You were doing so good.
1900, I believe. First day.
Oh, but when 2000, we celebrated the millennial when it turned 2000, but I think a millennial actually started in 2001. But, or no, not the millennial, but the 21st century began. I think that's right. Well, look it up, Colonel. I believe I'm correct. Okay. In December 1987, McCoy, can you give that to Andy to look up?
Andy, look that up for me, please.
In December 1897, Charles McCoy won the world middleweight title with a 15-round knockout of Don Creedone. And despite his slight build, he was offered a rematch with Creedone, but despite his slight build, McCoy decided to enter the heavyweight division. Now, remember, heavyweight, this guy's 5'11", 160, and he's in the heavyweight division. Apparently, Colonel, they could just move up then without... Do they do that now, or do you have to
no,
be...
No, you have to be at the weight now, right? Yeah. You have to be at the weight.
Yeah, but apparently this is before they had that rule. So like a flea could get in, come in as a heavyweight, I guess. Anyway, he defeated the likes of boxer Peter Meyer and Gus Bublin and took on, of course, Colonel, one of our heroes, Gentleman Jim Corbett.
Oh, yeah.
He was a gentleman Brandy, who was a boxer, but he was he dressed to the nines. He was very polite. He had gloves. He has hat, coat, and tail. He was he was a great boxer, though. He defeated John L. Sullivan.
Oh, yeah.
At least once, maybe twice. I think he took the title away from John L. Sullivan, if I'm...
So the super interesting thing, though, about Jim Corbett is that I don't give a fuck. We were doing so good.
Well, he was a great boxer. I mean, these other guys I just mentioned, I didn't really know them.
Tell me about our dipshit. I don't need other dipshits muddying the
pool. But General Jim Colbert was like a fan. He was probably the most famous athlete
in the world. There can only be so many dipshits in this pool, so let's just stick with ours.
He took on Gentleman Jim Corbett, but he was defeated in what was considered one of the most staged fights in boxing history. And boxing wasn't always on the level.
One of the most staged 90. Ones.
No way.
Timmy, just to...
I don't think... I mean, it's probably not on the level now, but it sure wasn't on the level back then. The last fight of McCoy's career was against a British petty officer named Matthew Coran. And that fight took place in London in 1914. That would be his last fight. At the 12th round, it was scheduled to go to 20 rounds. In the 12th round, McCoy was failing badly. A timekeeper sitting by the ring placed a whiskey and soda at his side. McCoy hit the mat, reached down and grabbed a drink. And that, that gave him the burst of energy he needed, and he finished the fight, defeating Matthew Coran. That was his very last fight. McCoy, in 166 fights, McCoy was 160-6.
That's pretty good.
He was quite the fighter, even though he was probably playing bums, fighting bums, and he was probably fighting, as we know, he's... His strategy was not to fight, basically to run around. Which is a legitimate strategy.
Which would be like if I was in the ring with Mike Tyson, that would be my strategy.
Oh my God, Tim! I thought you were having a seizure or something. I was mumbling. What was happening?
You know what the Mike Tyson says, Colonel?
Everybody has a plan
until you get hit in the face.
Hit in the face, Timmy. Now you took I'm sure you took a lot of Latin in your educational, having your law degree.
We
you just said we.
And
we.
They could. The word cunnilingus.
God damn it.
Is drawn from the word cunnis, which is vulva, and lingeri, yeah, which is lick in Latin.
Lingeri, ling ross.
Oh, that makes all makes sense
cunnis
now.
Cunnis lingeri.
Whatever.
Yes.
Oh, there was a, you mean there was something specific you were supposed to lick?
I think there is, Timmy.
I used a grape fruit shot approach.
The what? The shotgun approach?
Yeah, I want to be sure to get all the, I want to be sure to get the right places, so.
Just hit everything?
I'm so grossed out right now.
Yeah, just like a blind man, you know.
I swear to God, stop it.
A blind man, it's like the blind man in the elephant room.
Part of that's right.
Well, you're like a one-man band down there, Timmy.
Exactly. I thought he was Mickey Mantle.
Exactly. Got a little drum on my back. I got cymbals on my ears.
Yeah, okay. All right. So, as successful as this guy was in the ring, his life outside the ring was a bit of a cluster. He married his first wife named Lottie Pierre, in 1895.
You know, they don't name women. People, they don't name girls Lottie much anymore.
They don't.
Pilar, that's her name. Sorry, Lottie Pilar. In 1895, that union didn't last, nor did any of his marriages, as most had thoughts of reforming him. Oh, God, I can fix him. And that was their mistake, they would say. He married 9 times, 3 times to the same woman. So, clearly she's been in the boxing ring,
too. He must have really loved her.
Well, so, I mean, I can fix him, but I can fix him. People are so fucking stupid. You can't fix other people.
They try.
You got to do that shit.
Yeah, see, Brandy, I don't like the negativism that you bring.
You do.
Sometimes
I don't give a shit. How about that? Okay. McCoy.
Well, I just feel like you're disparaging women. There are a lot of women out there, devil, who have, faith.
In what?
And I, Tim, how do we explain faith to the devil?
Like, what kind of faith? Sure.
Well, you know, faith is believing. Brandy, faith is believing in something when common sense tells you not to.
Hanging out with you people tells me that. But here we are. I know what faith is. I'm not sure what her faith has to do with anything, but whatever.
Well, she had faith that she could change
the
man.
Well, she had faith that she could better his life.
Well, and as anybody in their 40s
should
tell you, you can't do that.
Warped, frustrated woman, you do not believe in the capacity of humans to change.
Right. And, you know, men are just beasts.
Hold on. I believe in the capacity for people to change. What I don't believe in is that it is my responsibility to change you, to make you a functional adult. So,
we are our brother's keeper, Brandy.
Men are lumps of clay. And if you don't mold us properly, then it's your fault, not ours.
You know,
you're the pottery person.
I don't think so. Shut up. So,
if I come up as a jacked up ashtray, it ain't my fault. I would just.
And if you guys don't want us down there just willy nilly, you have to tell us where it is.
All right.
Why is this the theme today?
Offer, you know, get Google Maps or something so we can get there.
You know, there ain't nothing worse to me than going down whistling in the weeds and not getting any feedback whatsoever.
Okay.
You know?
Oh, I require a complete survey after.
SurveyMonkey.
Well, it'd be
just
nice to get some during.
Yeah, we put it on SurveyMonkey. Yeah. Put
exactly.
it on SurveyMonkey.
Send out the link. We should put Andy in charge of that from now on. Okay, so McCoy.
Andy's got enough to do. We got
Andy's
Andy
gotta,
doing all
Andy's
kinds gotta of
get
crap.
His shit together and get moving. We've got big plans, and he needs to get on board or get out of the fucking
way. Well, Brandy, Andy, how do you know he identifies as a
I don't give a fuck what Andy identifies
See, here
as
you go again, Brandy, living in your own little world.
So,
you don't.
Wait.
You don't
I
take
know,
in
but
concern.
Hold on. McCoy had a number of business ventures, a saloon, an auto dealership, a jewelry store, and various other enterprises, but those would soon begin to lose money or fall victim to scandal. So,
Timmy, saloon, I just thought of a great porn name for these new times.
What's that?
Ron Kermit? Binary.
What's that again?
Ron Binary. Because you know how there's so many people that are non-binary. You'd have that whole market to yourself if you were just Ron Binary.
Oh my God!
You should coin that or trademark that.
I think I will. Oh yeah. Write that down, Devil.
Definitely do that.
But you know, I mean, I don't think Brandy should be assuming that Andy
is a man.
Is a he? So I'm saying. All I'm saying.
All right. So,
Andy, we love you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that you work for a podcast where people don't appreciate you.
Right. Again, McCoy had a number of business ventures, saloon, auto dealership, jewelry store, Stakes University, and various other enterprises. But those would soon begin to lose money or fall victim to scandal. Following his boxing career, McCoy entered the service of his country. Mm-hmm. Some accounts say he served with the National Guard along the Mexican border.
Thank you for your service, Norman.
Yes.
Thank you for your service.
He served the National Guard along the Mexican border and as a recruiter, while other accounts have him in the Army as a boxing instructor. With 8 divorces behind him and an empty bank account because of them, McCoy moved to Hollywood and landed a few bit parts in silent movies, courtesy of his friend D.W. Griffith. He also...
He also found
a friend in the actor Charlie Chaplin.
But isn't that the Birth of a Nation's guy?
No. Yeah, it might be. Yeah, I think you're right.
But as his fame dimmed... Oh, this is Chuck. But as his fame dimmed...
Ask Andy to look that up. I think it was D.W. Griffith or... Yeah, I think you're right. Birth of the Nation.
All right.
Man, that thing looks bad. You go back and look at it. It looks,
yeah, that
I mean,
did not
it
age
never
well.
Looked good, but no, so, he sure didn't age well.
But, like Chuck, as his fame dimmed, his temper rose, and he found himself in more fights in saloons than in the ring. So there he was in the early 1920s. This is Chuck, a broke alcoholic, former boxer and actor. But what he did have was a romance with the wealthy wife of an antique dealer. And that was surely not going to end well. Teresa.
I mean, you know, antique. You don't want to mess with antique merchant's wife because
they deal
they
with
are,
some shady shit.
It was antique seller. I see them on that American, whatever, roadshow. Yeah, they. You don't want to mess with those.
They'll kill
people.
You, they will cut you.
Oh yeah, they will get a bitch.
But for all those things,
Tomb Raider, okay, that's all I'm saying. Indiana Jones,
Tomb Raider,
yeah.
For all those things, Devil, the one thing that they could not take away from him is his pearl diving ability, Devil. The skills that he learned over 8 marriages.
Well, Teresa Moore
would always carry that.
It was trial and error. Obviously, the one wife liked it because she married him 3 times.
So Teresa Moores was an attractive 30-year-old woman who was smitten with McCoy and was filing for divorce from her husband, Albert. McCoy and Moores moved into a Los Angeles apartment under an assumed name. Following one of many confrontations by the divorcing couple, McCoy said he was headed to New York for a break. McCoy and Moores had their own fight. The next day, Moores was found by a janitor in the apartment. She'd been shot once in the left temple. A .32 caliber pistol lay nearby, and allegedly a photograph of Kid McCoy was on her chest. The following day...
You want to clean that up if you decide to murder somebody. First of all, we hope none of our listeners were murderers, but... If you do happen to murder someone, don't put an 8x10 glossy photo of yourself.
Yeah. So there's
on
that.
The it's well, bad.
They don't even need a police sketch after that.
Yeah, no, you're good. But what's funny, it just so now evidently this guy has just said, you know what, fuck it, and he went out on a wild crime spree, holding 12 people hostage at the antique shop owned by Teresa Moores. McCoy left the store, shot the first 3 people he met before being apprehended by police in a park. During the trial...
So he, it was kind of like a spree killing then.
He evidently just said, you know what? I'm done. During the trial, McCoy claimed
we've all had those.
He's like, he's like falling down. Kurt Douglas, or
he fell down.
Yeah, falling down.
During the trial, McCoy claimed Moore shot herself, which was rebutted by the prosecution. His acting career must have served him well during his defense, as news accounts report McCoy's vivid details of that night. The charges were reduced from murder to manslaughter, and McCoy was sentenced to San Quentin. He was a model prisoner and had one of the cleanest records in prison history. Because of his celebrity status.
Well, that's something to be to be proud of. You know, I mean.
Oh, I know. Well, let's see. So, because of his celebrity status, or whatever, he was visited often by his old pals, Lionel Barrymore, which I believe is Drew Barrymore's grandfather, right?
It is, indeed.
Yes, and he was Mr. Potter in It's a Wonderful Life.
Well, so...
I just saw Drew Barrymore in a commercial, and she, I have to say, the woman is holding up extremely well.
Well, she's all free love and hugs. So, I mean, that does well for the skin. That's why I just look like I've been run through a, you know, potato
And
peel, I
seen Christine Applegate when she got her star on the Walk of Fame.
She's aged well.
And she looks like she's really, she's really, really struggling right now.
Well, she's
really
sick.
Yeah, she has MS.
She's got MS.
Yeah, she got Parkinson's or MS.
Yeah.
But she's she did age well, though. She's been beautiful the whole
She's still aged well.
Life.
My God, she, when she was on that
show. I know,
when
she was Kelly Bundy.
Oh, my God, she was gorgeous. Yeah, she was gorgeous.
She was white trash gorgeous, but you're right. Okay, so.
Yeah. That's the best kind, really.
I understand. So there was even a, well, Al Jolson went to visit him as well.
I mean, the lady is sick, Brandy. You could have some, you know.
What?
Sense of decency to you.
Oh, my God.
You know, she's talking about, you know, she's calling Christine Applegate white trash. And the woman is dying from Parkinson's disease. So if that is, you know, if that makes you feel better about belittling others.
It makes me feel better. I'm okay with it. I'm fine. I'm good with it. So... There was even
you don't have to tear others down.
I'm going to embrace that. That's what I do. It's actually my talent. So there was even a campaign to free McCoy, supported by politicians and actors alike. He was paroled in 19.
Now let me get this. I mean, this is what I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around, Brady. I can see. Okay, he could say his girlfriend committed suicide because she. She was in love with him, and she died with his 8x10 glossy photo of her on it. But you know, it's hard to get around shooting three people in public.
There's
just
nothing. He fucked up there.
I'm not sure how you know he gets a lot of sympathy for that.
Well,
opinion.
He was paroled in 1932 and made a living as the athletic director for the Ford Motor Company.
He worked with Ford. That guy was nuts.
Can I get there?
Henry Ford.
All right. So he made his living as an athletic director for Ford Motor Company, as an occasional gardener for Henry Ford. Here's my favorite. And as a lecturer on the evils of strong drink and wild women.
Well, you know, Henry Ford... I mean, he paid his, you know, at the time he paid his employees well, but yeah, he hired detectives to go in and research his employees to find out if the ones who drank or caroused around or gambled or whatever, and he fired them. But you had to live by his moral code if he was going to work at Ford Motor Company. So now he has this guy who's a multiple felon.
But he's rehabbed.
He's rehabbed, and he is going around lecturing employees the evils
and
of
wild women.
And wild women.
So, Norman.
So I guess Lottie was a wild woman.
Lottie sounds wild. Norman Kid McCoy Selby is buried in Whitechapel Memorial Park Cemetery in Troy, Michigan. What do you think about that
Charles. No, that's the same. He died. I wonder if...
he changed his ways. He turned his life around.
Right.
Do you think Nina might have known him?
Think who might have?
Yes, Nina might know him.
Nina. Oh,
from being from Michigan, yes. Probably they all know each other.
You know, I read that last sentence, Brandy, when you read it. I read it. It says he was buried at Whitechapel Memorial Park Cemetery. I read that as Whitechapel Memorial Pet Cemetery.
Well, that's a whole different place. That does a whole different thing.
It is.
So,
Yeah.
So.
Do they have pet cemeteries, though?
I'm sure they do. We do.
Or is
every place has pet cemeteries now.
You know, there's a pet cemetery by us that closed down. How do you close down a cemetery?
I want to be buried in one. I want to be buried in one.
No, because then you come back to life. That's the...
Oh, like Plan 9 from outer space?
That's the rules.
Hey, Brandy, when are you going to review another movie?
When I feel better. Like, I've just been feeling like shit. I've been watching fucked up movies, though, for sure.
I'll tell you what.
I will watch something today and do it right away.
Plan 9 of Outer Space. Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Text that to me because I won't remember.
All right. Plan 9 from Outer Space. You'll love it. It's ridiculous. Okay. You'll love it.
Sometimes I can get Dave to watch things and I'm trying to get him to go and review with me. I don't think he will, but... We've watched a couple of things where it's like, what the fuck is even happening? So, yeah, good stuff.
Do you know what I listened to
last night? You know, you should. That's something Andy could do.
He could
watch it with
you. I found out who this Dirty John guy was.
Oh, yeah. Did you listen to the podcast?
Apparently, it's a big podcast. I didn't listen to the podcast. I listened to the Dateline. They condensed it for me.
Oh, yeah.
I don't need to know every detail. I just want to get the broad strokes of this guy. He's not a good man.
He wasn't a good
I'm just
guy.
Saying for anybody who hasn't heard the Dateline, if you want the Cliff Notes version of Dirty John,
the podcast is also amazing. So, guys,
what's it about?
It's not important to the story. The important thing is, Tim, what do you think about Norman dipshit McCoy?
Well, let me tell you about Norman. I have some opinions on him. I think he was a very clever man. I like his style of never fighting. I like that. You know, we've all been there with women, so I feel his pain. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he really shouldn't have killed the innocent bystanders because, you know, that they had nothing to do. And,
it was a dick move.
You know, to do with it. So,
no, but a woman will drive you to that, Timmy. A woman will drive you to that.
I wonder if after he shot them that he... I wonder if he laid a 8x10
on them.
Of himself
they
on their chest.
All right. Charles, what do you think about this guy?
I admire him. He's something I aspire to be, Devil. I myself feel like I have been married 8 times. It's like my marriage years are like dog years, you know. One is like 7.
Oh, imagine what it is for her.
It's luxury and
it's none of those things.
You know, I was looking in her office in the house, Devil, and one wall is completely encased in Charlie Harper pictures. I did not realize Charlie Harper.
Okay.
It's an artist of some sort.
Yeah.
And she was looking at another picture, and I was like, that picture is incredibly expensive. And she's like, yes, these Charlie Harper things are very expensive. And I said, but you have one wall that has 8 Charlie Harper pictures on it. When did you sneak that by me?
Really?
We have a goddamn Getty Museum in our house of Charlie Harper pictures.
Where? You know what my question is?
And if I spend
you know what I have?
If I spend $6 at Taco Bell,
I have
to account for it.
On my wall. On my wall, I have the dogs playing poker.
Nice.
I don't even, you know what?
It's an American.
That's what I wanted, Timmy. But you know what she made me get it in? A print. I couldn't even get the velvet. I had to get a print, Timmy.
Oh, man.
Where's my picture on her desk? That's my question.
She's got one of you.
I'm sure. I'm sure. I hope it's a good one. So anyway, guys, do one of you want to, you know, wrap this up and we'll wrap it up?
Well, I guess we
should. Well, we would like to thank all of our listeners who support us on Patreon. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs, all one word, where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or
just a wee little bit. And I'd like to say, Timmy, we're not one of those uppity podcasts who are throwing stuff behind paywalls and saying, you only get this content if you're a patron. We give it all out free. And if you want to give us something, that's completely voluntary. We're not like drug dealers.
We give it
who
away,
get you,
much like Brandy and her economics professor. All right.
Well, no, that was a quid pro quo, Timmy. That was a business arrangement, and the devil's always been a good business person.
Thank you, Charles. I mean,
well, she must not have been that good if she got a C+.
No, C+ is, you know, that's what.
Absolutely not what happened.
Do you know what they call the guy who graduates last in medical school, Timmy?
Doctor.
That's right.
Okay.
Although I do have to brag, also, Timmy.
Oh, fuck.
My boy had his first quarter in law school. He had four classes.
How'd it go?
Four classes and four A's, Timmy.
Amazing.
Good for him. Yeah. He'll be all right. The first year is the toughest. So if he gets past the first year.
And he's a little bit concerned because he said, you know, Dad, it's kind of hard, but it's not that hard. I don't get why these people are having such problems with it. And I said, well,
I think it depends on who you are. You know what I mean? Because for some people, if they're gonna drop out, that first semester is usually. I had a class. We had 87 people, and like 21 of us, 22 of us graduated.
He's got,
so people will be dropping.
There's
out.
70 in his class total. I think seven in his group, seven, they have study groups or something. I don't know how to break them up.
Yeah.
And they've lost two already.
Study groups.
In the first semester, they've already
lost.
Yeah, I feel like this is an off-mic conversation that we could all have if we chose to.
Yeah,
I
guess
we have many listeners who might aspire to go to law school, Brandy. We're trying to.
I'm not aspiring to be in this conversation.
We're trying to try and give them information.
Actually.
All right.
Not aspiring to that.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, if you want our content, it's always out there for free. And if you feel like digging into your wallet a little bit, throwing us a bucket here, we're basically the podcast that sits on a corner that says, homeless, please help. You know, that's us.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
So you could throw a little money in the jar, or you cannot, but you still get to listen to it.
You know, what you don't see anymore? You used to see these guys with no legs on a little
cart? Yeah. You know what?
Selling pencils.
It's the advance in medicine, Timmy, and it's just a shame. It's ruined things for everybody.
God.
I like the traditional guy with the push cart.
Well, yeah,
because
if you want a pencil,
again,
now you have to go to Amazon or something.
Yeah.
Hey.
No, I mean, these free
come
legs are
you
so
could
cheap.
Walk right downtown on any corner and buy a pencil.
Come
for
on.
You.
Right.
Okay, so we're that podcast. I mean, and you know what, guys? I love you so much.
Colonel, did you ever push them down the street?
I'm just saying it'd be nice to see somebody strolling by on a car, pushing themselves on a hand cart every once in a while. But now, hell, you can go to a flea market and get a fake leg for $12.
Yeah, they used to have these little things that they held.
You know?
You remember, Colonel, they had these little things that they held and they could.
Yeah.
They put them and pull themselves along.
Right, right. Like Eddie Murphy in Trading Places.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right.
It's too bad that they no longer.
You know what?
I miss those days, Timmy. I miss those days.
Everyone.
I do too.
Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you, everyone. We'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye,
everyone.
The safe cracking doesn't have anything to do with this goddamn story.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.